You're listening to Nightmare on Film Street. The current time is 6:66. Traffic is clear ahead from here to the afterlife, but it's hell outside. For the next hour, you're on Nightmare Time. So, let's give a grave welcome to our hosts, John and Kim.
Hello again, fiends, and welcome to Nightmare on Film Street, horror for the casually obsessed. I'm John.
I'm Kim.
And we are here today to close out our Tans of Terror double feature with James Wong's Final Destination 3.
I am so excited for this episode. It has been such a long time coming.
Yeah, Kim, as the self-proclaimed internet's foremost expert on Final Destination 3, gonna have to ask you, what are three good things about this movie?
Oh.
If for anybody out there that hasn't seen this movie yet, and is trying to figure out whether or not to watch it before listening to the rest of this episode, what are three reasons that they might love it?
One, it's a Final Destination film. So that means creative fucking kills every 20 minutes. Every 10 minutes, there is a teenager getting it, or an adult, actually. This Final Destination films do not discriminate.
That's true.
You could be a teacher, you could be an adult, you could be a police officer, but if you were supposed to die on that first opening sequence, you're gonna get it.
You could die like this, or you could die like that,
or you could die like us. That's great. Point two, extended roller coaster horror sequence.
Yeah, that's good.
You cannot beat amusement parks, carnivals, that so perfectly do they fit in horror films, and they are not featured often enough. For the longest time, I wanted to pair this movie with the House on Haunted Hill remake.
Hell yeah.
Because they are the two greatest spotlights of a roller coaster in a horror film. And honestly, we need more roller coaster horror. I don't know what else we could
do. Yes, please.
Haunted roller coaster, maybe. You know, like my grandma died on this roller coaster 100 years ago tonight.
I keep trying to visit her, but somebody always takes the seat beside me.
If you say her name three times when you're going down the big hill, someone says she'll sit next to you.
Oh, boy.
Point three. Well, I got to give it up to the title of the double feature. It's got one of the best, maybe the only.
Yeah, it's got one of the best roller coaster sequences in horror. It's got one of the best tanning bed sequences in horror.
I'm going to say it's one of the best kills in the Final Destination franchise.
I'm with you.
The tanning bed death, which just simply needs to be seen for you to understand how amazing it is. And fucking dark and twisted and, I want to say, almost sadistic because of the music choices and the the theming around it. It's just a fucking wild ride.
It's so a hoot.
Yeah, that's my point three, is the Tanning Beth kill.
Yeah, those are three great reasons. Three good reasons why we think you should check out Final Destination 3. Don't worry, we got more for you in the rest of this episode.
But before we get into it, John, what is keeping you creepy this week?
Everything Everywhere All at Once is coming out this week. Not really a horror movie, but man, am I stoked to see this fucking movie.
Everybody's talking about it, and I
can't wait.
I just want to see it.
there's gonna be at least one spooky sequence, I'm sure, but like fucking martial arts and shit. Jamie Lee Curtis is like an IRS shithead. I can't wait. But like the biggest thing keeping me creepy this week has got to be Panic Fest. They've recently made their first wave announcement. They've got over 30 feature films, 50 shorts, and we're gonna be there.
We're in that announcement.
Yeah, we're gonna be in Kansas City, Missouri for Panic Fest this year. We're doing a live podcast recording with Mick Garris to celebrate the 30th anniversary of Sleepwalkers. I can't fucking wait. It's going to be a blast. Panic Fest is happening April 28th into May. Go to panicfilmfest.com to check out all the movies and events coming. Joe Bob's going to be there. They're doing a live last drive-in for Bubba Hotep. Can't wait. That's going to be an absolute blast. We didn't talk about this last week, right?
I don't think
so. It feels very familiar.
Either way, it's still important. We're still going to be there.
Hell yeah.
They're also doing virtual if you are not in the area and can't come see us. And there's more info there at panicfilmfest.com.
But yeah, please come. Hang out. Have beers with us. Hoot and holler at some indie horror movies. It's going to be great.
And just a quick shout out to Scream on Blu-ray. It just landed, the new Scream movie. We are giving away 5 different copies thanks to Paramount Pictures. They gave us a whole bunch. The giveaway is everywhere. It's on Twitter. It's on our Discord server, our Instagram page, and Facebook. So just find Nightmare on Film Street in those spots and enter the giveaway, and you might walk away with a brand new Scream Blu-ray.
Yeah, that's pretty badass.
Yeah.
That'd be rad. I can't win.
I know. We are not going to own Scream on Blu-ray, but we're giving them away.
Lastly, of course, we are putting out the first episode of the Never Sleep Again series. We talked about it last week. 9 movies, 9 podcasts, 0 sleep. We watched the entire Nightmare on Elm Street franchise in one sitting. It nearly killed us, and the first episode is coming out in the Fiend Club tomorrow. You can listen to that episode and all of the other bonus episodes at nofspodcast.com/fiendclub. It's the easiest way to support the show and to get some, honestly, truly, some of the best episodes we've ever recorded.
The hardest thing, I think, of that whole thing wasn't just staying awake. It was differentiating between Nightmare on Elm Street and Nightmare on Film Street, because we say Nightmare on Film Street so often that adding the and adding the Elm, my brain just nope, that's not in there anymore.
Not happening. But yeah, here are our thoughts on our very clear, caffeine-addled thoughts on Wes Craven's A Nightmare on Elm Street. It's so funny to listen to that first episode because it's just like, wow, these are different people than what I remember when we were talking about Jason versus Freddy or Freddy versus Jason. Like, we become monsters at some point. We block out all the fucking windows in the apartment. Just say, like, we had no sense of time anymore.
We made it from one McDonald's breakfast hour to the opening of another McDonald's breakfast hour.
Yeah, it was great.
Fueled by OJ.
My sleep schedule is finally back on track, though, so I have no regrets anymore.
But enough news from us. Let's get into this week's episode where we talk about Final Destination 3.
It was an accident.
There it is.
They barely escaped.
The drives are broken. Don't push the button.
Once we got off that roller coaster, we're still going to die.
It's become a destination.
You lean into this like them urban legends.
They can't avoid.
I never thought I could see my own death before it happened.
You're dead!
Final Destination 3.
Meet you at the end.
Rated R. Starts Friday, February 10th.
Final Destination 3 from 2006 is currently sitting at a 5.8 out of 10 on IMDb. 44% on Rotten Tomatoes, and 2.9 out of 5 on Letterboxd. It's also directed by James Wong, who is the director of the original Final Destination.
But it's not written by Jeffrey Riddick, who wrote the first two.
No, but it is also written by Glenn Morgan, who also wrote the first two. And is the director of Black Christmas. He's the best friend in Trick or Treat. This guy has had...
Oh, like Black Xmas.
Black Xmas, yeah. 2006, Black Xmas with Mary Elizabeth Winstead.
She's in that.
Bam.
My God, we connected it. I think it's criminal that this only has a 44% on Rotten Tomatoes.
We should change that to the name of the podcast. Every single movie we do, we're like, this is a crime. It's bullshit that no one likes this movie. We're just obsessed with an era of horror movies that other people just don't revisit.
Yeah, it's like our favorite horror movies are the bugs on the bottom of a rotten log. We're Timon and Pumbaa eating those fucking bugs.
Eating them up, slurping them up. We're
grubs from 1999 to 2008.
Yeah, we're not contrarian. Just give me those dirty, gross bugs. I just want them. You know why though? It's just because it's the era we grew up with.
Oh, what an era it was! And this is such Final Destination 3 is such a time capsule. That
in more ways than it thought it would be.
Oh my. Well, first of all, the digital camera. How long has it been since you've seen somebody using a digital camera in public?
Yeah. Well, how long has it been since you've needed one? Like, it was 3 years after this movie. Everybody was like, all right, well, fuck digital cameras. We don't need this bullshit. It's either you go pro or you've got an iPhone Pro.
Characters say iPod in this, and you're like, wow. There were iPods.
And it was like a big statement, like, oh my God, you got iPod money?
Yeah, and somebody said PSP.
They were dropping all that technology. Yeah, bury me with my PSP. RIP PSP. It does not exist anymore. The premonition in the beginning of this movie is wild.
This is maybe one of the, fuck it, I'm going to say it. This is the best premonition in all of the Final Destination movies.
Yep, you it's heard Cam. This good. Is her personal favorite.
It's as good as Flight 180. What's your favorite premonition?
Flight 180.
Oh, okay.
100%. Especially in how it's laid out.
Oh, yeah. No, it's fucking great. But Roller Coaster, fuck, yes.
Agreed. So, and hey, there's an argument to be made for the second one, because it's not like you are scared to go on roller coasters because of Final Destination, but you sure as shit won't let me drive behind a truck that's got a bunch of logs on it.
Everybody in the world won't drive behind a truck with logs on it.
Yeah, you're all irrational. Like, none of you have driver's licenses, I'm sure of it. You're all passengers. It's like, who fucking cares? They strapped them down. There's nothing to be scared of.
I don't even like when we drive near those trucks that cart new cars, you know, where there's like six new cars all stacked on top of each other.
Oh, it's because you saw Bad Boys 2 and you're terrified of it, of somebody hijacking it and just dropping them off, right?
Does that happen in
Bad
Boys 2?
Oh, fuck yeah, it happens, man. It's like one of the greatest Michael Bay sequences ever.
Bad Boys 2, unofficial Final Destination 2 spinoff.
I like it. I think all of these movies are brilliant in the sense that your cold open begins immediately and like you get all the goods up top. It's like you get free kills throughout the whole movie. Every single one of these franchises. It's like, we're going to kill everybody for you and then we're going to roll the tape back a little bit.
That is the most ingenious setup for a modern day, because this is essentially a slasher. It's got the same kind of formula. You have your character archetypes. Each film presents a new round of them, essentially. And you're cold open instead of that scream kill where it's like a disposable character, which is still fucking amazing and a classic. Classics will never die. This kills all your characters. This is like wham, pow, punch. Sit down. You're strapping in because we're going to kill them all over again.
Yeah, we're going to kill them again. So good. There's also just something great about watching it and knowing that something's amiss. It's absolutely brilliant in the first one. And I think partly it's because, you know, he's scared of flying and stuff. Even by the time you get to the second one, it's loaded with the, you've seen this movie before. You know what's going to happen. So now you're guessing what the catastrophe is going to be. That's always a lot of fun. I think Final Destination 3, though, one small thing that I don't like about the cold open is when Mary Elizabeth Winstead, Wendy, her character, comes out of her premonition. And she's like, oh my god, I'm still alive, oh thank god. And then she's looking around to see if... She's looking around and she sees the patterns.
The like, gum.
Oh, that happened. Yeah, you touched gum before. We're all gonna die.
Like, what are you talking about? That's an exact callback to the first film when Devon Sawa pulls the tab on his collapsing table.
There's more
than just...
And the
tab breaks and he's like, oh, fuck.
But there's more than just that. There's people having conversations with him. Like, people are repeating dialogue. Like, there's more than just...
We're in part three, baby. We're being
all
efficient.
We need is a piece of gum.
We're being efficient.
Okay. Let's get it.
Also, I would say that Wendy is more of a high-strung person. I think she's more tightly wound. I think she came into Final Destination with some bags packed already. I think she's more of an anxious person, and that's why there's all of the themes of, like, control in this.
That's why she's always behind the camera. She has to observe everything from afar. She can't be part of it because she just can't control the situation, but I can control everything from behind my little focal lens here. Snap, 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 yearbook.
I do like the addition of the camera. I think these characters take some major leaps as to...
Yeah!
So, first of all, the first photo that sets her off is her boyfriend doing the devil pose in front of the coolest entrance to a roller coaster ever.
And with a giant devil. Like, he's also, he's just mimicking the devil pose. Like, what is sinister about that? I still don't.
So there's a roller coaster, like, zinging by in the background.
Ooh.
And she's like, oh dear God.
It was a premonition that he would die on the roller coaster.
And you're taking a photo of a roller coaster? It's just like,
come on, lady.
I don't know.
The next one is the best. Like, the two girls who die in the tanning bed, their photo is like a little overexposed and they look orange.
It's on fire.
How are you supposed to know they're gonna die in a tanning bed
because
from that?
Because they invited her tanning. She knew where they were and she associated. But yeah, the photos alone. She looked at those two photos and was like, dear God.
It does not make sense. Like, all of the leaps that they make for the photos being the premonition, being a further premonition or calling card for everybody's death, nonsense.
Loved it.
Genuine nonsense.
Loved it.
It's great. It's so much fun. And but it's also sort of tongue-in-cheek in the sense, like, hey, you know why we're here. You know what this movie is. Like, who fucking cares if it's held together by a thread? You're gonna love it anyway, man.
That's what's so great about the Final Destination movies. I have the belief that it's maybe one of the most consistent franchises ever because it's set a bar that is unpassable by another franchise because the story doesn't have to be original. Like, some of the complaints of this one I read were that it's very formulaic, and that's the point. That's the whole fucking point, is death has a formula, and people aren't seeing Final Destination for an original story. They want to see an original premonition opening, and then they just want to, they want the experience of those drawn out, tense, how are they going to kill this character? Because those are fucking fun to watch in a theater with a bunch of horror fans.
Yeah.
It makes...
The first time you're seeing it, you have no idea how they're going to die.
Exactly. It makes for such a fun movie theater experience because you're watching it with everybody and everybody's doing the exact same thing. Like, they're like, is that going to spill water? Is this glass gonna break? Is that wire gonna short? Everybody's playing Nancy Drew, like horror fan Nancy Drew, watching, and you get to do it like 6 times in the movie.
Yeah.
You don't need any plot. You just need one after another of these really fun sequences. And Final Destination can really play in the death sphere. Like, each character gets 10 minutes to die, which is unheard of in another franchise.
Especially, well, modern at least, yeah. Like, you do not get the set pieces for murders in modern horror movies the way you get them in a Final Destination movie. I really hope that 6th movie finally comes out. I don't even know if the people who were attached to direct it are still attached to direct it. Like, it's still in pre-production, but, like, goddamn, I need another Final Destination movie.
I'm so surprised they haven't just gone the Saw route with it and just released one every year.
That'd be incredible.
Remember, like, Saw was coming out every Halloween.
Hell yeah.
Final Destination is, I don't want to say just as disposable, but in the same sense, throw them on the subway, throw them in a boat, throw them like...
Doesn't matter. Does not matter whatsoever.
You could do crossovers. You could do Final Destination crossovers.
Oh, you know what? You know what's great? This might be the one franchise. Now, I know we're only like, what, 20 years, 22 years into this franchise, so it probably
wouldn't...
That's crazy. I know, it's nuts.
If I could, like, I'm like, oh, I came out in like 1999. That was like 6 years ago.
I have some bad news. it's probably not old enough to necessarily qualify for this, but maybe legacy sequel free. Unless...
Oh, they're totally going to bring Devon Sawa back.
They can't. He's dead. They actually could do this now that I'm thinking about it. Devon Sawa dies, but Ali Larder makes it through the first movie. She's in the sequel.
Oh.
But let's not forget, legacy sequels are huge about just retconning everything but the first movie. So we could technically have a legacy sequel with Ali Larder coming back.
True.
She's a teacher at a high school. She'll probably maybe die in the airplane. But damn. I need to.
Unless
need
Final Destination gets into like time traveling business.
Let's do it. This franchise honestly should get weird. Like, people literally talk to death at the Grim Reaper. This should get fucking wild.
I just want to side note, Tony Todd is so fucking fantastic in this franchise, and he has to do so little. He just has to come with his gravelly voice and his mischievous little smile. In Final Destination 3, he doesn't even have to do that. He's the voice of the fucking devil.
Right? Oh my God.
So good.
If I was in an amusement park and I heard Tony Todd's voice coming out of a like 18-foot devil, there's no way I wouldn't go on that roller coaster 666 times. Like, I would just all day.
Precisely that amount.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, I actually looked it up while we were watching because...
It's in Vancouver.
I know.
We gotta go.
I was there. Yeah.
It's called the Corkscrew. I'm finding it. We're going on that roller coaster for sure.
Oh my.
I'm gonna do the devil pose in front of it just like that kid from Tucker and Dale versus Evil.
Maybe I'll buy a digital camera.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, let's go real 2003 on it. Wait, 2006.
Oh boy. Speaking of 2006, I just want to give shout outs to all of the little Baby Winehouse bumps.
Oh my God.
Hair bumps in this.
I didn't like them in 2006. I really don't like them
now. I feel so bad because, like, I definitely watched this movie and was like, oh, the hair is so fucking trendy. I'm going to bump my hair. I remember doing, like, the bang bump and then, like, the hair bump into the ponytail.
Did you ever buy the piece that you'd put?
I did not.
Okay, good. I used to see infomercials for those. Like, give yourself an extra big bump. Yeah. Damn.
Oh, the bump.
It's basically just like, here's a tiny little hat, tuck it under your hair. No one will know. The fucking hat game in this, too. It's not
even...
Oh,
my God, the hat game.
It was outdated for 2006. Like, her sister's got, like, a full-on Jamiroquai hat.
It's like a fucking beret.
Yeah. It's like a Macy Gray-style thing. It was not in fashion in 2006. And then, was it Stevie Cheeks? What's that guy's name?
Frankie Cheeks.
Frankie Cheeks, who everybody insists on saying his full name. Everybody... No one
even
says
after
Frankie.
Even after he dies.
Yeah, like, oh my
fashion.
God. We're here today to remember the life of Frankie Cheeks.
Franklin Cheeks.
Taken... Yeah, yeah, sorry. They gave his Christian name for the funeral. Like, taken too soon off this earth.
What if his actual last name was Cheeks?
It has to be. It's in IMDb as Frankie Cheeks. I love that. He also talks about himself in the third person. Like, man, if Frankie Cheeks wasn't such a womanizer, these girls would still be alive. You're like, buddy, like, I don't think it was just about you.
Oh, poor Frankie Cheeks. The thing about his death, though.
Uh-huh.
Did you have any other...
No. I was hoping that we would talk a little more about him. I got something to say.
Okay. His death, I think, is one of the most underrated in the franchise.
Yeah.
I think it's one of the best ones.
It looks great. It's also a huge surprise when it comes.
Yes. And the fact that it's in a fast food lineup and you're just like, oh, yeah, you are fucking stuck there. And it's something that everybody does. Everybody's in that... Like,
everybody gets sandwiched in by a delivery truck.
At the bottom of a hill with a runaway truck nearby.
I could not remember where this movie was set. And during this scene, I was like, fuck, are we in San Francisco? Because of all like the hilly hills. And then the runaway truck happened. I'm like, oh, this explains what's going on. This is why we're here.
Save big on brunch for mom. All in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So yeah, delivery truck has sandwiched them in. There's another second delivery truck up on the hill, like a moving truck that's barreling toward them. Nobody's in it. The brake is off. They get out of the car just in time, but like the impact drives the engine of their truck out through to the car in front of them, which turns out to be Frankie Cheeks, and the fan belt just chops up the back of his fucking head.
Yeah, and there's blood matter and shit everywhere. It's great.
These deaths are hard to explain.
But what's so cool about it for a Final Destination film is that this isn't considered a skip. Death wasn't actually after Wendy and Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
But their presence affected the murder. And you'll find that with all of the murders, because they're present at all of them. They actually kick off a lot of those domino effect death is blowing over a bag of salts. And
yeah, which like, they never seem to recognize. Like,
yeah.
They see every other pattern possible except for the fact that like, oh, wait, us being here changes things.
Yeah, like when we get to the Tanning Beth kill.
Ooh, wait, is that the only one that's unaffected by it?
No, she calls. Wendy calls them, uh-huh. And them reaching to get their phone knocks the shelf down.
Oh,
which pins them
shit.
Into the... Yeah, so she even affects, like, every time, every person she tries to save, she's still in the pattern. Like, she's
wow.
still following Death's design. So Death's design could very well include the skips in order to get them all at the, spoiler, subway station at the very end.
Yeah.
Like, she's never actually falling out of line.
He's playing 4D chess.
Yeah, it's like maybe Death's just been doing this so long, he wants a little bit of fun, so he's giving, like, a small pocket of people who are supposed to die in sequence awareness that they think that they're outside of the pattern, but they're not. And then you really have no control at all. You just have the illusion of control.
I love that Death is just, like, you know, it's Friday afternoon, and he's just bored, and he's like, fuck it, let's get wild
with
it.
Well, I mean, isn't that what God did with Earth? He was just like, I want some little men.
Yeah, on Friday, he made all the nightclubs.
And on the eighth day, there was XXX whiskey.
Yeah, it's crazy that nobody tries to accuse Wendy and Kevin especially Wendy, of being the catalyst for people's deaths.
Yeah, because at one point, they offhand are like, oh, I was questioned by those police for 10 hours.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, because you were present at all of these gruesome accidents.
They can't make that a storyline, though, because we already saw it in the first one.
True.
It makes a lot more sense in the first one because they think it's more of a terrorist attack, which, you know, that's the only movie where they specifically said, we think this might be a terrorist attack and this kid did it. And it might be because it's the only one that came out before 9/11, but holy shit, did this movie drop a fucking 9/11 bomb in the middle of it? She's trying to convince Kevin that death is after them and that there are premonitions that you can find in photographs. She pulls out the Flight 180 catastrophe. She pulls out something else, I think, from the second movie with
Benjamin
the log.
Franklin. She pulls.
Oh, no, no, no. It's Abraham Lincoln. Here's a photo somebody took of Abraham Lincoln. And there's a slash to the photo right where he got shot. And then there's a photograph of the Twin Towers with the shadow of an airplane on it. And she's like, see?
Like, and we're all like, too soon.
You're like, wow, it's still too soon.
In 2022, it's still too soon.
Oh, boy. I love that Ian McKinley, who's got the same name as his high school. How lame. Yeah. I love the idea that he might be trying to hunt her and kill her. They just tease that idea.
They don't go full hog with it.
No. Like, at one point, he's definitely mate or somebody is following her in a van. And then he shows up at the end. She thinks that he's there to kill her. He's obviously not, because he's surprised by that. Even he's like, ooh, that's an idea. Like, that's interesting. Let me think about that for a little bit. But the sense that there could be somebody, like, you don't have to worry about just death. You have to worry about a guy who is now trying to kill you in order to, like, save the rest of the group. That's great. That's an awesome little cat and mouse thing that doesn't actually happen in the movie, but would be great.
Could still be used in a future installment.
To be honest, it might already be in a future installment. It feels like it's from another one.
There's always one bad seed in the bunch. There's always somebody that cannot handle their girlfriend being murdered and therefore goes on like a toxic masculine rage.
We've drifted a little further away from Frankie Cheeks because the thing that I really want to talk about is his involvement in everybody's death on the roller coaster.
Oh.
Let's not forget, he sneaks into the roller coaster behind the two girls that die in the tanning bed because all he's been doing is filming them, talking about how bad he wants them. He's just a sleazy horn dog. He's videotaping them during the roller coaster. And he's like, show me your tits, ladies! They smack the camera out of his hand. The camera falls, wraps around the track, and that's what initially sets off the catastrophe that is, you know, like multiple deaths all across the entire track of this roller coaster, right?
Oh, the whole coaster dies.
Yeah. He's not on the roller coaster when everybody dies, which means his camera wasn't there and it didn't get wrapped around the track.
Oh, fuck.
So whether or not they're on the roller coaster, they were doomed.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't think that's necessarily a plot hole. I think that's what they're trying to say is that no matter what, even if you
change something small.
Yeah, you change something small, it's still going to happen.
That's a very cheeky find. A Frankie cheeky find.
Oh, God.
We do need to talk a little bit more about the tanning death kill.
Hell yeah, we do.
It is the entire fucking reason we're talking about this movie.
It's so good.
It is the best kill in Final Destination, in all of them. I'm putting it down. I think it's the best kill.
Well, we're not here to talk about the whole franchise. We are just here to talk about this movie in particular. So I'll agree with you. Best kill of this movie.
It's the best kill of the movie.
Double kill in this movie.
And it is so fucking cruel. Exclamation point on the music choice because it's so fucking fun.
Roller Coaster of Love, right? They survived the death on a roller coaster and that's the song they died to.
You know, I was a little bit uncomfortable watching it this time, and I've seen this movie so many times. I've never gotten uncomfortable in that scene. I think I'm getting soft in my old age. But
you're getting more claustrophobic in your old age.
I would never go in a tanning bed, one, because that's just not my thing. Two, because of all those cancer things I read in our last episode.
Sure.
And three, because this fucking movie and claustrophobia.
Oh, man, what a cruel death these are, because I will say most of them are kind of swift. Like, people definitely know they're about to die, something bad happens, and then boom, they're dead. It's very rare that it's drawn out.
Yeah, like, the drawn out part is the, what were you calling it, the Rune
Goldberg, yeah.
The Rune girl. The domino effect, I'm going to keep saying
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's fine.
Of the catastrophe in motion in the space. It has nothing to do with the actual person. They're just lining up to, you know, like the mark where something falls and smashes into them or shoots them in the face.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas this one, they're trapped in burning alive.
Yeah. At least it amps up so fast that they actually catch on fire, because otherwise just getting cooked alive sounds even worse.
The fucking skin bubbling. You could tell they were getting crispy. Like, you could see them getting crispy.
Yeah, they're just boiling and shit. Ugh. Man, it is gnarly.
Even just the fucking squeezy tube closing. The salon owner uses like a bottle of suntan lotion to keep the door open because he goes outside for a phone call / smoke, and the tube is slowly emptying and the door is closing and locking on itself, which causes him to not be able to rescue them. But just the film lingering on that fucking squeezy tube, like slowly oozing out, you're just like, fuck me, this is sinister.
It's good stuff. The absolute gem of that whole scene, though, is the overhead shot of the two of them.
Oh, so good.
Cooking in the tanning beds, and then hard cut to two caskets at the funeral.
Oh, and the exact same view. It's so fucking perfect.
Amazing.
That is chef's kiss horror right
there.
Pure
cinema, baby.
I applauded in my living room. I was just like, oh, just a joy.
James Wong, you've done it again. You son of a bitch.
It is so good. So good. And it brings you into the iconic single
contractually obligated funeral.
Yeah.
For a slasher movie. Yeah.
Final Destination is the most guilty of that. The single memorial or funeral.
Yeah. We didn't even get it for everybody that died at the amusement park. We just cut to a section in the high school where there's a memorial set up, just some candles and a creepy wind that blows one of them out.
I love Death's creepy wind.
He'll just say, hey, fuck your candle.
He's just like, something's in motion. And the main premonitioner is just like, something's in motion.
Last great thing about the tanning bed dev is when the two girls invite Wendy, Mary Elizabeth Winstead's character, just because she looks down and they're just like, hey, if you want to come.
She's standing in the rain.
Yeah, she's standing in the rain like a fucking like wet dog. It's like, hey, if you want to come.
And
we'll
5 minutes,
take a tan.
But like 5 feet away is clearly a canopy. Everybody else is under it, sitting on picnic tables, dry as day.
Yeah. But it's when they walk away and you hear them go, that was really nice of us. That's
great. It was nice of them. They weren't doing it to be catty at all.
No, but it's just funny.
I will say that I like these characters so much because there's no initial asshole.
Oh, no.
Even the goth kid,
who they
kind
of try and paint as an asshole at some point.
So he goes a little off the rails once his girlfriend dies, but he's just a smartass. He's just a teenager. Mm-hmm. When he's the kind of most surprising at the funeral, because he has an outburst, which you're like, oh, this asshole. But he's so...
It's an outburst we've all had.
It's
at
an
18.
Emotional outburst. Like, he's affected by these two popular kids' death, who I'm sure they had nothing in common. They never spoke.
Yeah.
But he's affected by it, emotionally affected by it. And you're like, wow, this is well written. Even like the jock, like he kind of brushes off Wendy and Kevin when they go to tell him, yo, watch out for those two swords above your head. Why are they so sharp?
And yeah. Why couldn't they just be decorative?
But he's like, no, thank you. I don't believe this nonsense. But he's like, I know your friends just died and you're going through a lot right now. Like, he even has a level of understanding. Whereas I feel in the most archetypal way, they would have just been like, nah, fuck you. I'm going to get my head smushed.
Which is actually kind of what he's like. And he does get his head squished. It's pretty great.
His death is really good, too.
Yeah.
Because just the fucking gym sequence is so tense, because Wendy's just looking around at all the potential things that can fuck him
up.
Yeah,
somebody's plugging in a fucking radio by like a pool of water.
And almost drops it. There's a fucking bear somebody's just like punching and it's wobbling. You're like, yeah, that's going to fall down.
Well, and it's part of the Rune Goldberg machine of the gym. It's just like somebody hits the bear, the fingernail flies off the bear, hits a guy in the face who drops his weights, who scares this, who does that, which cuts the cord and smushes this fucking guy's head. It's great. Do you remember the DVD?
I do remember the DVD.
And how you could, like, choose how people die or whether they die here or there. They always ended up dying the same way.
I remember it being, like, tiny things change. Like, you're like, no, sit here on the roller coaster. And it's like, joke's on you. We're figuring out how they can still sit in the same spot.
Yeah,
we're not filming this whole movie again.
No. It's, like, just a bunch of insert shots that just, like, misdirect you into thinking that you can affect things.
Yeah, it worked out the first time you watched it because you're like, wow, I made the movie. And then the second time you're like, oh, this is the same movie.
This is the exact same movie. I loved it, though. For a while, it was the only way that I would watch it.
Netflix definitely got their interactive content idea.
Oh, my God. That's a good point.
From this fucking movie. And maybe Netflix should buy Final Destination, and all future Final Destinations should be like Bandersnatch.
I would love that.
Right?
I mean, realistically, if we get another Final Destination movie, it's probably going to be on some streaming platform.
Which sucks because, honestly, the theater experience was made for these fucking movies. These are so fun to watch with people.
Yeah, not gonna happen, though. 100%. Sixth entry in a franchise? Nope. It's going straight to HBO Max.
Man, so fucking good, though.
I agree.
What do you think of the subway ending? Obviously, 1, 2, skip a few, 3 people survive.
Okay, well, first off, love that Home Depot death. Like, fucking girl gets, like, slammed in the back of the head with a bunch of, like, with a nail gun.
And it's fucking long.
Oh, I don't like that, how she's, like, still alive. And
oh,
she's
and she,
just,
like, squeaks.
She's like, what? Didn't like that. There's a few moments. Even when Ian McKinley dies, that was his girlfriend at Home Depot, when he dies later on at the 4th of July celebration, when he gets smushed, he's still kind of alive. Like, 3/4 of his body's gone. He's just like, squirm, squirm, squirm,
I will
squirm.
Say my only complaint about this movie is that I don't feel like Mary Elizabeth Winstead, Wendy's character, appropriately skipped death.
That's all bullshit.
She dodged a firework, and you're like, was that it?
You're like, we skipped
or
death.
Or I guess because he died, that he couldn't kill her. I don't.
Yeah, see, it's so fucking loose. It doesn't make any sense. Even when they're in the subway and it's just like, no, we talked about this 1,000 times. You triggered death, so it skipped you, so we're safe. You're like, no, that still doesn't add up. 100%, this does not add up.
And then she has the vision again, and it shows to the photo and her blurry in the subway car. And you're like, oh, the photo was alluding to this death. But that doesn't make sense because Ian McKinley died before her after he was already skipped. So therefore, she would have had to skip twice to get to this. Like, the pattern does not line up.
No, don't like it. But all of the subway ads, like, referencing all of the people that have died.
Loved it.
So good.
Loved it. I read somewhere that the directors initially wanted to have the survivors of the second movie.
Oh, yeah.
The cop and the lead.
They're in the subway as
well. Be on the subway, like, completely unrelated.
They're like, no, we're saving that for part 5.
But yeah, I thought that was kind of cool. Apparently, too, there was an alternate ending when they first screened the film. I do not know what it was.
Uh-oh.
But when they first screened the film for test audiences, they hated it. And so the subway was a reshoot. Which I'm very interested to know. There were alternate endings on the DVD. One of them, they survive kind of the 4th of July centennial thing, and she drops the phone in, like, a garbage can.
Mm-hmm.
Another one, they all survive the roller coaster. Like, she wakes up again in that scenario.
Oh, wow.
And everybody gets off, and it's just like, never happened.
Maybe that was the ending. That had to be the ending people didn't like.
Yeah. And you're like, no, fuck that.
Fuck it, kill them. We want blood. The subway sequence is good. I like it. I love it when, like, a big piece of debris comes through a window and just turns a person into, like, dust. Like, her fucking sister just becomes a bucket of blood, just explodes when this thing hits her. And then fucking Kevin, the train is sliding along the ground, and the window that he's on breaks, and he sort of, like, gets scraped through and pummeled up. That's gnarly.
It's also kind of terrifying to think, too, that Death is so angered and wants to kill these people so bad, he's willing to kill a whole subway worth of people to get these 3 people. Unless he put them on a subway that was supposed to derail anyways. There's so many possibilities, but
yeah,
a lot of people fucking die on this subway for these lead characters to die.
Yeah, I love a double premonition, like a premonition at the end.
Well, because it's a loop within a loop. Like, now they're in a skip death loop inside of a skip death loop. It's fucking good.
It's also so cruel of Death to give her, I'm going to assume Death is the person that gives it these premonitions. Because, again, we're relying on the idea that he's bored. And he's just like, I need a challenge.
Death is just fucking with you.
Yeah, like, he gives gives her the premonition at a point where she can't escape. Like, hey, the train's already moving. Like, if she had, like, woken up just as the doors were closing, that would have, at least there would have been, like, a hint that maybe she could have gotten out. But no, there's absolutely zero escape here.
Yeah, I think it's so fucking amazing. This one is really gnarly, too. Maybe it is true that I'm just getting very soft, but the deaths fucking affected me. I guess when I was a kid, I was just like, ha ha ha, these fucking teenagers are eating it. And you don't, like, watch those moments after, you know, they've been impaled or shot in the face and they're still alive a little bit. And you're like, yeah, it was uncomfortable, but like,
I don't know if you remember when we watched Final Destination earlier, like late last year, our big thing was just like those poor parents, like, like, oh, their children are dead. Oh no. So yeah, you're aging out a little bit. We got to get back to that high school cynical, fuck these people. They're not real. So we gotta try and tap back into that bleak worldview where we don't care about anything.
Like, you're too emotional now. You're just like, oh, those poor fictional characters.
Yeah. Oh, the idea of sadness. Okay.
Hello,
Kim.
Sadness, my old friend.
Boy. So, Kim.
Oh, wait. Wait.
Okay, sorry.
Just want to shout out to There's Someone Walking Behind You. I will never not love that song.
Yeah, great choice.
Oh, you could put it in every single horror movie. It is as good as Blue Oyster Cult's Don't Fear the Reaper. I love...
They haven't put Don't Fear the Reaper in here anywhere, have they? Like, in any of these movies? Two on the nose?
Oh.
I think we're... It's
they have to have.
It's 2022,
at least
baby.
In a credit sequence.
Go on the nose. Oh. Put it in.
Yeah, it's in every other franchise.
You're probably right. It's probably in the credits.
It's got to be. It's got to be at least like opening credits, closing credits.
Mm-hmm. So you've already established this is your favorite film of the franchise.
Tied with number one.
Favorite of the franchise. Kim, what's your rating of Final Destination 3?
4 out of 4.
4 out of 4.
It's perfect. It is perfect. 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, that's the rating I read earlier. I'm going to give Final Destination 3.
So what are you looking at? You have no notes.
Sorry, I thought my phone was vibrating. I thought I was getting a phone call. Like, I think I have to bail out on this.
It's
bye.
Death warning you to give it a good rating.
I do like this movie. I'm going to give it a 3 out of 4.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow, what are you talking about? Most of the world thinks it's a 1.
Wow.
I think it's a lot of fun. I think it's really good. It's not my favorite of the franchise. It's a lot higher on my franchise ranking than most people put it. Everybody puts this one at the bottom.
No,
that's a
they don't.
I think they do.
No, this is like...
Oh, no, sorry. They put Final Destination 5? Is that the one that they put at the bottom? The one where everybody dies at like the NASCAR event? I like that one. I think that one's good.
Is that the first one that's like, it's 3D and all the wheels like... hit the screen.
I think you're right, yeah. And Buddy dies in like the bottom of the pool. Like he gets his butt stuck on like the suction. And it's like sucks out his intestines.
A fear we all have.
Yeah, that fucking girl who dies in the car wash. We're gonna
save
do that
it.
Movie.
We're definitely gonna
do that movie at some point. Yeah, I'm giving this a 3 out of 4. I think it's really good. I think it's really fun. But I don't think it's a perfect movie.
I just disagree with you.
That's fine.
It's perfect.
Let us know what you thought of Final Destination 3. Is it a perfect movie?
Yes.
Sound off on Twitter at NOFS Podcast or the Nightmare on Film Street Discord at NOFSpodcast.com/Discord. We also have the Nightmare on Film Street community now on Twitter, because every social media platform has to have every feature that every other fucking social media platform
no
has.
No sarcasm there.
If you're just... itching to get rid of all your spare time by spending it on social media, hit us up in the Nightmare on Film Street community.
Until next time, I'm Kim.
I'm John.
Stay creepy. And Final Destination 3 is a perfect film.
It appears you made it out alive, but we'll get you next time. Help us to grow the horde. Leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you subscribe. More terror can be found lurking on our website, NOFSpodcast.com. Until next time, stay creepy, fiends.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.